This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, we have a quorum, so let's proceed, shall we? Ringing the opening bell, the assembled multitude with what could be more appropriate than the overture from Tommy. I thought about that. It's like, well, it's perfect. It's natural tie-in. So we'll do this. We'll take a break. President Trump says that to have a great nation, you have to have religion. You agree with that or not? 504-260-1870. Let me know what you think. To have a great nation, you have to have religion. Because then that begs the question, which religion? Whose religion? We'll also talk about prayer in schools because you can't force somebody to pray and you can't keep them from praying. And that whole argument always struck me as odd. But we'll talk about it when we come back. WWL. 6:13 on this Tuesday morning, September 9th, is it? I can't read my own handwriting here. Yeah, it is the 9th, right? Yeah. That's right. All right, September 9th, and we're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University in Minnesota. It is currently 75 degrees, going up to 90 today, 50-50 shot at showers, and then throughout the rest of the week, you can expect pretty much the same thing. Highs of 85 today, 87 warming, 88 Thursday, 89 Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up to near 90. But dry all the way through next Wednesday, and the tropics are quiet. So at this day before the statistical peak of hurricane season, we'll take it. Good morning, David Schultz. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I hope you're doing well, too.
I'm well. I asked people before we went to break, or before you came on, the president said that in order to have a great country, you have to have religion. And I asked them if they thought that was agreeable, if they agreed with that or not. And the only text I got was, in his mind, have a great country, you have to have a religion in which you worship everything Trump. I will say this. This is my own opinion. And I don't have Trump derangement syndrome. I think the president does some good things, does some bad things when it comes to religion. I think it kind of rings hollow with him. I think maybe George Bush might have been able to get by with thumping some Bibles, or maybe some Jimmy Carter might have been able to get by with thumping some Bibles. But for me, Trump, you can push his business creds, you can push his immigration creds. The religious part, it seems like he's kind of faking the funk.
It looks a little bit like it. I mean, remember, he's a business person. He's had the Trump Bible for years, you know, and, you know, how much he mixes business and religion seems like he's doing it. But at the end of the day, you know, what somebody else's business or what somebody else's religion is and what they personally believe, kind of none of my business.
No, it's not. Like it. But by the same token, yeah. Nor is it that of the public schools. Because, you know, there's this old movie, The Sandpiper, with Richard Burton a long time ago, where Elizabeth Taylor is concerned about her son praying. He says, well, you can't force him to pray. We've tried. It doesn't work. You can't force somebody to pray, nor can you prevent somebody from praying, because that's in their mind between them and God, right? That's why this whole thing always struck me as terribly ridiculous.
Yeah, I was going to say also, I mean, if you look at history, I mean, history has never shown a situation where you can force somebody to believe in God or force somebody to change their religion. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so it's really a matter of a personal conviction. And again, just expressing sort of, you know, my view as a legal scholar is that there's a reason why our framers had the establishment clause and said government shouldn't establish religion. It's a private matter.
So with that being said he wants to instruct the education department to bring religion back into schools. And I'm going to start here because when I heard that, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute now. If you're a Catholic, you don't want Protestant instruction. If you're a Protestant, you don't want Catholic instruction. If you're Muslim, you don't want Christian instruction. If you're Jewish, you don't want Christian instruction, nor do you want Muslim instruction. That's why you can't have an established religion, right? Because so many people have so many different religions.
That's exactly the reason why. And also, there are many people who say they're not religious. If we look at public opinion polls right now, too, or look at trends, we've got for people under, let's say, the age of 30, approximately, about 40 to 45% that say that God isn't important, that or they don't believe in God or something like that, or they don't pray to a Christian God. And so we're looking at, you know, roughly half the population, you know, who would be subjected, you know, to these kind of orders or something like that, who have a variety of beliefs, including non-beliefs. And again, you can't really force people to believe.
So let's talk about the Supreme Court and the aggressive immigration raids, because here's the thing, and I'm just going to put it in layman's terms, all right? When you see a group of guys or women standing outside of the home improvement center, you can pretty well figure that they are illegal, but you can't legally, or at least I didn't think you could legally, automatically challenge them just on that basis, because, like, well, you're speaking Spanish, you're out here looking for day labor, I'm going to presume that you're an illegal immigrant. Up until yesterday, that would not have been legal, would it? Take me through the constitutional history of all of this, Dave, and I guess the Fourth Amendment?
It would have been the Fourth Amendment, as well as perhaps the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. But police just can't randomly stop us. They have to have what's called probable cause that we're doing something wrong. And in most situations, just hanging out on a street corner is not probable cause, because what? We have a constitutional right to hang out in public squares and hang out in public places. You know, if you and I want to go and just go hang out down around, you know, in front of Joe's Bar, just hang out and we're not doing anything wrong, you know, God bless America, that's my right to just go hang out or something like that. So police just can't stop us. You know, they have to have probable cause. Now, they can come up with probable cause if they can find us we're doing something wrong. That's one problem. The second problem is that in the decision that came down, was, I think, yesterday or whatever it was, the court basically said that probable cause could be what somebody looks like or them speaking Spanish. Now, that kind of strikes me as discriminatory, that I'm going to stop you based upon your looks. Isn't that what a lot of racial discrimination is about, stopping people on the basis of their looks?
See, let me take the other side of this here. If somebody's listening and they're saying, you know damn well, first of all, that being presumed because you don't know really, but you know damn well they're not from here because they're outside of the home improvement store looking for day labor. But even if you do, quote, know that, the danger in allowing law enforcement to do that in this case is that it could lead to other cases where it's all like the economy or health insurance or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If it works for you, then you're okay with it. But if it doesn't work for you, then all of a sudden you got a problem, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, first off, this is clearly racial. Well, at least it looks like to me, racial profiling. This, based upon your race, we're going to presume that you're illegal. But how about here? We take it a step further. Based upon your race, we're going to presume that you are about to commit a crime. I mean, think about some recent stuff here, you know, in terms of, you know, the mass shooting that we had at a church, in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago. We know that about 98% of mass shooters that have mass shootings have occurred have been young white male Caucasians in terms of shooters. Well, based upon that profile, anytime we see maybe young white males, you know, hanging out somewhere, we're going to presume that maybe they're up to something no good, and maybe they may be a mass shooter, and we're going to go stop, search and frisk them, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that becomes the slippery slope that we're starting to look at here.
But as you say that, I can guarantee you there are people that heard you say that and say, you know what, fine. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Maybe it'll prevent mass shootings, and we can take a break, and on the other side, we'll explain how slippery slope, you got to watch what you ask for because you may get it, what that could lead to eventually. And also, I want to drill down a little bit on what exactly the court did issue yesterday, because I don't know if that was just a temporary order from Kavanaugh, if it was a ruling on a case, and it does matter. The details matter. David Schultz, professor of law and political science at Hamline University. It is 6:21, time for traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WL. 6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, about what happened yesterday with immigration and what needs to be there in order for law enforcement to challenge somebody that they think is illegal. I guess, David, maybe we can look at it from a standpoint of what was it before the ruling and what is it now?
What you needed before was you needed some type of probable cause to be able to stop people in public, and you just couldn't sort of say round up the usual suspects. And what the court said yesterday is that they're going to let the Trump administration and ICE proceed in terms of detaining people based upon what appears to be them speaking, you know, a foreign language, in this case probably Spanish, or the way they look. Now, it wasn't a ruling on the merits. It was another one of what's called the shadow docket cases, where a lower court had ruled against the Trump administration. The case was appealed up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, well, we're going to let the Trump administration proceed with what it's doing until the case actually is appealed, full oral arguments are made, et cetera, and work their way up. And this is a very common pattern, what we're seeing right now with the Supreme Court. The lower courts are over 90% of the time ruling against the Trump administration on merits. Then the Trump administration asks for a restraining order or a temporary restraining order to halt the lower court decision, and it's granted by the Supreme Court.
A lot of conservatives are wont to say, you know, the example of you put the frog in the water and you turn the water up and eventually the frog is cooked before he knows it. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not a frog. And you would think the frog would say, man, it's hot. I'm getting the hell out of here. But either way, it seems as though sometimes or lately with civil liberties that same thing might apply here. But in another way, where it seems as though our liberties are kind of being taken away day by day, little bit by little bit, and people don't realize it. Am I wrong here or not?
Well, it does look like that at this point, because this is a pretty abrupt shift that's going on here. We're basically now saying that ICE has broad authority just to basically stop, question and detain people based upon what they look like or how are they talking or something like that. And I mean, that's not supposed to be what our law allows to do. And again, I know a lot of people are saying, well, But they're guilty, but are they
illegal?
Or we have good reason, or something like that. Think about it. I got to use another example here. We know approximately 25,000 women a year, are shot by their domestic partners, you know, in domestic disputes. Almost all those owners are male, vast majority are white. Well, why don't we just say at this point, because in the interest of preventing domestic abuse, we're going to now take away all the guns from everybody who's white, male, and Caucasian, because the chances are that they might shoot somebody or they might shoot their partner next year. I would think that an awful lot of people listening to this show would get very upset by that type of reasoning, but that's exactly where we're headed.
And that's the problem, that once the court says you can do it for this reason, you got to be careful that it doesn't go that the court says you can do it for that reason as well. And that's the point you're making. You're not trying to take guns away. You're just saying you better look out. You better watch what you ask for. You might just get it, correct?
Exactly. And for those people who do care about guns, I mean, this is a decision that could lead to something like that, where we suspect that people who have guns, or we suspect people who are fit in a certain profile, are going to do something wrong. And so we're going to go round them up. And I kind of think that the whole idea of a free society is government bears the burden to stop us. Government bears the burden to prove guilt beyond reasonable doubt, that we should be free to do what we want until such time is that there's real evidence to support that me, particularly me, not the group that I'm a member of, not my race, not my ethnicity, not my religion, but particular suspicion that I'm doing something wrong.
I got to tell you, first thing I thought of, because I go to the big box stores occasionally to get dog food and the things in the big packages, is that I've seen people of color that I just presumed were from New Orleans that turned out to be speaking Spanish, I guess, or maybe from Cuba or, I don't know, wherever else, Venezuela. And I think people of color that are for this better be careful, because it might go from speaking Spanish to people of color, where all of a sudden then you can be challenged, and who knows where it leads from there. I'm just saying, you got to watch what you ask for. You might get it. Thank you, David. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk about confession in the church and how that's changed. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we'll go to Ian Ozan. You know, we don't really do here like traditional talk show in the morning. We don't do, you know, the Democrat says, Republican says, blah, 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 blah. We do more like podcasts, and we're going to talk about the evolution of confession and a Catholic Church when we come back. And I'll ask the audience at 504-260-1870, do you believe in confession? Do you go to confession? Does your religion believe in confession? You can text anonymously. I know I went to confession not too long ago, and I'll be honest about it. I said, you know, first time I ever went to confession in second grade, when you make your first confession, I told somebody this story the other day. I didn't know what to say, so I confessed to adultery. I didn't know what it was. I picked a sin, and it's like, well, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I committed adultery. And the priest freaked out. He's like, do you know what that is? I said, no, yeah, it's a sixth commandment. I'm not supposed to do it. That's nothing to joke about. It's like, well, I'm not joking. I didn't. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Maybe you thought I was a player. I don't know. But anyway, I did go to confession recently. I said, you know, it's been like 10 years, and pretty much, other than killing somebody, I just think it's silly to count up five of these, six of those, seven of those, other than killing somebody. Yeah, I probably had a couple of those in there. Throw some of them in there. That's why I said, other than killing somebody, I've pretty much done it, so let's just move on. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about confession here on WWL. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We talk about different things here in the morning, kind of like podcasts, and we thought we'd take a look at this. So we saw from theconversation.com about how confession in the Catholic Church has changed over the centuries. And joining us now is Tim Gabrielli, a Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. Did I get that close to right, sir?
That was pretty good, Tommy. Right. Glad to be with you.
Good to have you. Tell me about how confession has changed. First of all, is Catholicism the only church that has a sacrament of confession, or that requires people to confess their sins to somebody else?
No. I mean, there's some debate among Christians about, you know, the status of it being a sacrament and what that means. But there are other Christians, non-Catholics, who have the process of confessing sins. So Catholics aren't the only ones. So it seems that, you know, the iconic sort of confessional box and the priest and the penitent, you know, is deeply associated with Catholicism. And I think for good reason, it's been an emphasis in that tradition.
How did that come to be? How did confession get started as something that the Catholic Church did?
Sure. It's really interesting because I think, you know, when you think of early Christianity, there's this call to change your life. And so, you know, that starts even there's a long history in the Jewish tradition of, you know, changing your life to make your life right, some kind of change. And so, you know, usually that's a kind of communal thing. So we think of, you know, the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, God's calling them to do something different, to change their life, to follow this way. So that's an emphasis in the long Jewish tradition and continues in the Christian tradition. But early on in Christianity, that was baptism, right? So baptism is the time, this sacrament of washing with water, entrance into the community in which you've changed your life. And in early Christianity, which I find pretty fascinating, that was the moment where, you know, anything you did in your past life was forgiven, and you're now in this new community. And if there were small things that you did that were off course, you know, small sins, those could be forgiven. But big sins, you know, sins like, you know, murder or adultery or things like that, there really was no opportunity for repentance for those sins. You were set outside the community, which we sometimes call excommunication, and that was that. Probably a couple centuries in, probably about in the late 100s, early 200s, we start to see this practice arise in which in the community, the Christian community, we start to see, what about if someone is really, truly sorry?
But wait, let me jump in for a second, I might, Professor, and that is, sure. you say we see this arise. What does that look like? Who's running things at that point? Who says, you know what, we need to have, I apologize for my ignorance here, but is there a group of guys or women, men, who's running this thing saying, you know what, we need to have a way for people to get back in the fold and not shun them?
Yeah. That's a great question. And early Christianity is the organization. This isn't like a... you know, a corporation, right, with a CEO.
And there's no email, there's no internet, right?
right, that's right. And no one's checking social media. I think, you know, you do have authority structures. So you have bishops and you have presbyters or elders or what come to be called in the Catholic tradition priests. And actually, it's kind of interesting because in and around Rome, in and around the city of Rome, you had a guy named Hippolytus, who's a pretty well-known figure in the early church, taking a pretty hard-line stand on this. And then you have another a leader in the church by the name of Callistus, who starts saying, you know, in our community over here, right, in our kind of local church community, there's this possibility of joining a group of fellow penitents, right, those who would like to seek forgiveness, participating with that group, doing penance or practices of reconciliation, whether it might be, you know, publicly wearing sackcloth or in ashes and standing outside of the community as a representation that I've got some work to do. Right? And then over time, you're welcomed back into the community. And so how it really starts, Tommy, is you've got these little pockets of what you might call reform, and that starts to catch on and gets more attention, right? And then starts to spread a little bit and people take a look at it. And so that is like, but that's a communal process, a bunch of people standing together doing something publicly.
So there was not, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back.
Yeah,
so at this point, people are doing it publicly, right?
That's right.
Standing for and said, I did this, I did that. Yeah, well, I did this. It's not like Texas Hold'em or anything. They're not trying to outbid each other. They're just confessing what they did. 651, 9 till 7. More when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:57, couple of minutes left with Tim Gabrielli, the Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. We saw a piece on The Conversation, just thought we'd talk about confession and how it's changed. So they're doing it publicly, and then at what point did they decide to take this private, Professor?
Yeah, that happens, you know, as the church spreads, and particularly up north in like the Celtic lands, contemporary Ireland, and there's this emphasis that, you know, people screw up throughout their lives, and this public process was a one-time thing. And so is there a possibility for this to be repeated. And then also this relationship between a priest and a particular parishioner developing as a kind of mentorship, you might say, that I might see this person again and talk about my life and where it's gone wrong and then seek forgiveness and get, you know, and then God would provide that forgiveness through the representative of the church.
So at what point does the law and the sanctity of the confessional intersect, or what have the courts ruled and so forth? Where do we stand on that now?
Sure. One of the things that prompted this little piece is that this is certainly not the first time, but more recently, we've seen some laws passed, particularly it was one in the state of Washington, I think, about, you know, questions of what is confessed in confession. Is that something to which the law courts might hold the priest accountable for? In other words, now you know something about which, you know, might very well be a crime. Mm-hmm. Particularly around questions of abuse, and would you be accountable to share that in a court of law? For a long time, there's particular protections for priests in this context, as there would be for, you know, counselors and others, in order to protect that environment that someone would be able to be honest. And so that particular law the courts have put on hold. But, I mean, it's always been a question and throughout the tradition about the importance of a kind of privacy there and then the larger goods of the community.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time and insight. Interesting conversation. Tim Gabrielli, Gudoff Chair in Catholic Intellectual Traditions at the University of Dayton. Professor, you were not here for this, but for my first confession, I told a story earlier on myself. I didn't know what to say, so I confessed adultery, and the priest was not amused.
Was that because you wanted to be an adult?
No, I guess maybe. I don't know what it was. I just picked number six. It's like, well, it's pretty much in the middle. I'll go with number six. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics. We come back about the Senate race here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.